Our Father, we come to you again this morning. Thank you for this good number. Thank you, Lord, for the other churches going on this time. We pray the Holy Spirit of God would have His way in this place today, in these services today. Help us see someone come to know Jesus as Savior. Bless our hearts together. Give us something that's needed for that ungodly world we're going into this week. And I pray every day would count for you as we look at ourselves and realize the battle that's going on within each one of us each day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I want to speak to you on a subject you know very well, but do you know? You know it very well, but do you know what happens when it comes to us in the battle that we have every day of our lives? I want to speak to you on two opposing forces in the Christian life. What is it that causes us to do what we do? If you're saved, you know there are certain things that God has required of us as Christians. Amen? If you don't, you need to get back on the milk of God's Word and learn that. We're required certain things. Every time you and I make a decision about anything in this life that has God in it, there's a battle that goes on. You made a decision today. You came to the house of God. I guarantee you there's an opposing force of that somehow or another. We've heard a little bit about how Satan tried to stop some this morning through different means. If it came to Wednesday night, there's a decision to be made. Those who go soul winning, there's a decision to be made. Every time you make a decision that God says to do something, there's a battle going on to hinder that decision. Whether you realize it or not, it's there. That's the reason many times we go the opposite direction. We go thinking, well, this is not necessary now because this don't really matter. And yet we make a decision that's displeasing to God, but pleasing to ourselves. And we think because it's pleasing to ourselves, God don't want to be pleased with it. And that's not the way it works, folks. That's not the way God works in people's lives. And so I want us to look what Paul has to say about these two opposing forces. Because if I can understand how they operate in my life, then God will help me utilize the power that I have to let Him do what He wants to do in my heart and my life. Paul said this in verse 17 of chapter 5 of Galatians. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Isn't it interesting? The Bible says the spirit lusteth. Isn't that something? Look at it again. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. That is, the spirit fights against that which is bringing about the destruction as far as you and I are concerned. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you should. In other words, God desires us to do in the flesh that which pleases Him rather than what pleases ourselves. The Holy Spirit lust here is that we in the flesh would do. That's His desire, to please God in the flesh. And He uses the same terminology as we find the lust of the flesh. And now this lust that the Spirit has, desiring us to be and helping us with the power of God to be what God wants us to be. I wouldn't expect anything else from the Spirit of God, would you? He's certainly not going to go with the way the flesh does. Anytime I go the way the flesh against Him, He is grieved. And He goes on and He says, but if you're led. Now watch again. He said the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would, or that you would not do the things that you would. Cannot is a very strong word here. That is, there's a power within you in the flesh that if you don't conquer it with the ability and the power that God says, it will lead you away from Him every time. In any decision in life, it will not love to be in the atmosphere where the flesh is put down and the Spirit is raised up. He said, but if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And He gives some works of the flesh, 19, 20, 21, sake of time. Verse 22, He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Watch verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. That is, they have put it to death, or have the authority to do so, with the affection and lust thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you say you're saved and have the Spirit of God, then there is a side to walk in that Spirit. Then He said, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Two opposing forces in the Christian life. Now, how many times I've heard people say, you know, I used to think that when I got to be saved, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, my troubles will be over. Well, I've got news for you. To become a Christian introduces many internal conflicts into your life and into my life. Becoming a Christian don't automatically remove the conflicts. In fact, it intensifies them. You've got an adversary now who is constantly working hard to destroy anything that would be pure and right and holy in our lives. To walk with God is not conflict-free. The process of moving from external to the internal can be chaotic at its best at times. The external depended upon a lot of outside sources. External depends upon a lot of situations in life. Internal depends upon God and you. God and me. That's where it's at. Everything from there that moves from inside out will be for God. I either listen to Him and use the power available, or I'll listen to the flesh. And so, but the external depends upon a lot of things on outside sources. God's ability to link to our availability is what works internal with you and I. In chapter 7 of Romans, Paul gives us a little insight of how this works when he talks about this relationship. If you look in Romans chapter 7 and down about verse 15 down, you'll find he talks about, he said, "For that which I do, I would, I allow not, for that which I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I." And he goes on, he said in verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." That's that opposing force in you and I who are saved. Unsaved don't have this. The unsaved makes conscientious decisions at times, but there's no force really. They may have some morals a little bit that kind of goes against the grain of the flesh, but there's no battle in the sense when it comes to do something for God or not, because they have nothing but one track mind. That is to do what they're doing in the flesh, and they enjoy that so much there can't be nothing much wrong with it, they think. And Paul goes on and talks about how he overcomes this. "Oh, wretched man that I am," verse 24, he said, "who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then he says, "I think God in answer to that question, through Jesus Christ our Lord." What I'm saying to you, God's ability linking to our availability gives us power to do some great things. When we meet Christ at the altar of our heart, when we come to know Jesus Christ at the altar of our heart, ladies and gentlemen, He begins to replace the old mind with a new mind which desires spiritual things. And with the new mind, here's the operation of that. We can delay our response to anything we face in situations of life. We can delay our response to any problem that you and I face in this life and choose a course of action which no animal can do. No animal can do that. Not other thing in God's creation other than angelic form, but we're talking about in procreation here. No one else can do that except you and I. We have that ability to do that with God's help. Not only that, we have the power given to us from Him that can take place in our life. He begins to replace, and I talked to you last 2 weeks on mind, the focus of the mind. And last week, I appreciate the different comments have been made as we studied the brain and made some comments about that. Didn't know that it worked that way. Well, thank God He gives us some new things to see and understand. I always said, if we're in His image, look at ourselves and then let God have a spiritual application, and we can understand some great truths about God. We can do that. And so this conflict intensifies rather than diminishes during this war that goes on inside of us. And if you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. It's there. I guarantee you, when it's church time and you decide to go somewhere else or make a decision to do that, there's something inside that says, no, we need to be at the house of God. It may even you find some people who have an excuse in the hospital saying, I don't need to be in church tonight. I've heard them say that. It's something in me that says, I know I need to be. Why? There's a battle going on. When it comes to make a decision, where it comes to look at something in life that's wrong or right or wrong, there is a conflict that goes on in you and I, which in turn makes us make decisions. And sometimes we override with the power of the flesh when God gives us the power to override the flesh. The conflict intensifies rather than diminishes during this war within. And Paul identifies the two opposing forces in us. He tells us, what is it? What is it that caused me to do what I know I ought not to do? And it's so easy to do something that I know I ought not to do, it's easy to do it and not do it. There's two forces in us. And that force is you and I. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in you. And I guarantee you that Holy Spirit will never do in the flesh what dissatisfies God. But sometimes the flesh will. And sometimes we'll justify it and think, no, if it's concrete, dissatisfied God, the Holy Spirit will never agree on it. We may want Him to, but He'll never do that as He represents the Lord in our life. The force of the flesh is the law of sin and death. Law decreed by a state or higher authority is what it means. Laws are set up as the standards for administration of justice. So we have the force of the flesh, which is dominated in the sense of the law of sin and death. And then we have the force of the Spirit, which is the law of the Spirit of life. And these two, God says through Paul and other writings, these two are always in opposition to each other. They never do agree. The flesh never agrees to the Spirit, and the Spirit never agreed to the flesh. One or the other will control. And the Spirit can help control the flesh, or the flesh will grieve the Spirit. They will never be in harmony with each other. Because one's fallen, one's not. And so we got a great battle that's going on. It helps me understand why that I make foolish decisions sometimes. It should help you see the same thing and want the power of God to overcome that. So the mind is the battleground of all of this. It's right here. This is where it's taking place at. The mind is the battleground of grace and law, or grace against law. The mind is the battlefield of God against Satan. It's the battlefield of revelation against situation. It's the battlefield between spirit and flesh. It's the battlefield between the Word of God and the world. Right here's where it's at. And we hear it in our day. We're so prone to hear so much, which is so natural and normal against God, that it takes a lot of self-discipline to study this book so we know the other side of it. And it's sad to say, we're so tied up nowadays, it's hard to study the book so we can hear from God other than what we hear through a message or maybe just a song or something. Satan constantly tries to control our thinking through the five senses, and you've heard me say about that, and I'm getting more on that this morning. Our faith in God and His Word is fighting the sensuous perception of your situation you're in every day of your life. Everywhere you go, these two battles will go on. You can quiet the spirit down and not have much of a battle. And sometimes people have it. They say, well, you know, I don't feel as bad when I'm not in church when I do in church. Well, I thank God that God lets me feel when I'm not right, I need to do something. I'm glad of that. And when I sit in church and feel a certain way, then best way in the world to sit in church and feel better is to have things right. Hey, man, just have things right. And by the way, there's a little bit wrong with all of us. You know what I use the pronoun us? I know you think I'm almost perfect, but I got a long ways to go. I got a long ways to go. I'll be honest with you. I'm still in the flesh. And it takes the knowledge of God's Word to help me with the battles that we have in our lives, as much so as anything else. The mind is the battleground for that. Our faith in God and His Word is fighting the essential perceptions of our situation. Paul knew about this struggle. And that's the reason what he said in Romans 7, down verse 15, few verses. And that's the reason what he said in Romans chapter 8, when he says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, you see. The word condemnation speaks against your experience. That in turn, that makes you believe, makes the believer feels negative about self in the midst of what God is doing for you in the struggle. It's that which in turn comes and you feel negative about something that God is dealing with you in a struggle. And I'm glad to know that negative feeling doesn't lead to the final condemnation, because Jesus took my condemnation. In Him I'm safe, and in Him I'm secure. But that doesn't mean I don't have a responsibility to see to it that He can have a right away in my life. And it comes through the Spirit of God by His Word. And without that, you and I are helpless even to walk the Christian life. We can't walk it without it, you see. Believers have to grow in the relationship with God. Romans chapter 8 verse 4 said, who walketh not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now let me give you three quick points about these two opposing forces that you and I have in us. I mean, they're there. They're there. They're there. Everything you make a decision in life, you find it has anything to do with God or the flesh, you have the forces there. Number one is simply this. We meet God face to face the first time in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know about Him, but you don't meet Him until you suddenly feel the drawing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And suddenly that gospel begins to reveal to you His Son. And through His Son, you begin to get a glimpse of Almighty God. Because He's here to reveal His Son to His Father, who wants to become our Father. Through Christ and His humanity, we are led into a divine experience where we encounter God. I don't mean some mystical thing the brain brings up because you all of a sudden are out of control and Satan can be as excess as much so as God. I'm talking about when you come to an encounter with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's the only way you and I ever have a beginning encounter with God. until they stand before Him one day at the great white throne judgment for those who are unsaved. We have our encounter at the birth, at the time we hear the gospel. And when we trust Him as Savior, we really have a genuine encounter, and we don't have to worry about the future. We're going to be judged one day at the beam of seat of Christ, but that's not for our sin. Those who do not have an encounter with God through Jesus Christ in this life will face Him one day and hear Him pronounce judgment upon them without Jesus Christ. In the gospel, we meet Jesus Christ, and we see what He did. And so we see what God did for us as human beings. So in the gospel, we meet Jesus Christ at the altar of our hearts. Then we look in the book of Romans and we begin to understand the implication of what He did, which helps us to grow thereby. Here we get the theological and philosophical perspective of the gospel to believe, so believers can come to know Jesus Christ completely. I'm glad this morning I know more about Him than just my Savior. I'm glad this morning God has revealed in 47 years more about than Him what I knew when I got saved. September 27, 1959. I'm so glad that I know a little bit more about Him and what He's done than just a fact. But that's enough just to know Him as Savior to get to heaven. But I want to know more than just get to heaven. I've been saved many years since then. 47 years. What a shame if I didn't know no more about Christ than the day I got saved. Thank you. But you know, there's a lot of folks that don't. There's a lot of folks that don't. And it's sad. Here we get the theological, philosophical perspective of Him. Paul in Romans begins to build a solid case for the condemnation of all mankind. Why? Due to a reprobate heart. In chapter 3, Paul declares that they're condemned. And he ends up summation of the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In chapter 4, 5, and 6, Paul introduces justification by faith. Not by works, by faith. Faith is the channel. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. It's the channel to reach into that spiritual world and get this wonderful package deal in Jesus Christ. And it's called salvation. Martin Luther wrote years ago, he said that the book of Romans was written for our daily bread. Faith, not human works, releases a power that enables us to walk right before God. Works are the result of this power, not the cause of it. The cause is Jesus Christ. See, that may be the reason why sometimes that we who get saved do very little after that. It's because we I'm saying that's it. But the fact is, works is a... faith is the cause of the works. Faith in Christ brings the works. So others may see what has happened in our lives. It's not human related. You know, when you trust Christ as Savior, God releases this power that enables us to walk right before God Almighty. Man's soul is connected to the very breath of God in Christ Jesus. That amazes me. The day I got saved, I am connected to the very breath of God. I have the very life of God. And so do you if you're saved. Living inside of us. God gave it to us. A divine nature. When I begin to look at all these and look at the flesh and put on the other side what God has done, I can understand why He requires as much as He does of me. But if I list the flesh and don't list anything, or if I live the flesh and don't list anything that He says about this new nature, then the flesh just goes on its own way. Got me trapped in a way of just sliding through time, headed toward eternity. Glad I'm going to heaven. Not realizing, though, God has listed a lot of things that He's given me power in the Spirit to overcome in the flesh, so He may be glorified. And even though I have my weakness, He can still give the power that's needed. In Psalm chapter 42 and verse 1, the scripture says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. What a statement. You ever seen pictures of a deer lapping the water, drinking because it'd been running from in a dusty place, especially you see pictures in Africa and how they get around a water hole. And the psalmist one day probably looked at a little deer lapping the water up, and he said, that's where my heart is for God. So thirsty for it. My heart just beats so much. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I'll tell you this, you just don't slide along in life and have that kind of feeling. Amen. It's more to it than that. It's more to it than that. We commune with God with spiritual minds. The battles are won, first of all, in the mind. when we face crisis, when we face situations. God doesn't always change our situations. Now, charismatic will tell you you have enough faith, it will. But I've been in this thing 47 years. I'll be honest with you. Many times he didn't change my situations. Sometimes he did. I like a song I heard this week. Sometimes he calms the storm. Sometimes he calms me. I love that. We was listening to it. Who was it singing it, Mother? The lady. You like so good. No, the other one. We'll tell you tonight. She got the one that you like so good to sing. The last one of time. Had that good laugh, you know. Craman? McCain's, yeah. McCain's. It happened to flip through the television that night, and they were singing that song. And I want to get the words of that. It's a beautiful song, I think. He said again that, sometimes he calms the storm. Sometimes he calms me. And I sat there and said, praise God. Just tears come out. Praise God. How true that is. Why didn't I think of that? I'll tell you what I will next time. If God doesn't answer the prayer, he can calm me and help me through it as much so as he can calm the storm. As a matter of fact, that might be better for me. I don't learn anything if he calms the storm. I learn a lot if he calms me. I'm a hard fellow to calm. And so are you, I guarantee you, if you look at it through the eyes of God's Word. I mean, we face this. It's simple that these battles that goes on in our minds is a tremendous battle. If God can change our minds, He doesn't necessarily change our situation, but He does change our minds. And if God can change our minds, something happened. Then there's power, we can change our situation. He changes our mind, we trust Him through that, and then with the power He gives us going through that changes our situation. There's no situation you and I ever be in this life will be there forever. It's going to change. But I need to know that if God, hey, God can change the situation, goodness, He can change my mind. So why doesn't He do it then? Because sometimes I need the situation so I can learn something in my mind. I'll tell you this, if He changed the situation, I'll forget that later. But if He helped me grow in my mind, I'll never forget that. Got to bring that back. He can bring it back quickly because it's part of me, and so it's just part of you in our life. If your situation changes, your mind does not change, you would still remember the situation even though God has changed it. This is God switching the control of the mind from circumstances and sight to word and spirit. That's something that's inside. Situation external, something inside is part of you. God gives us revelation. He gives us revelation while we're fighting the battle between flesh and spirit. And this keeps our mind focused not on our situation, but on the revelation. And you and I learn by revelation. Studying. Hearing what He has to say. That comes from His Word, you see. Being right with God. Focus on His Word. Gives you revelation on how to change and control your mind through faith in His Word. God is a spirit that expresses His thoughts by communicating through your spirit and my spirit with His words. And they're powerful. They're very powerful. If I had a teacher stand up and try to show me, or just showing on a picture, 2 + 2 = 4, without telling me, it'd been a long time before I ever got that. First of all, why would you have 2 + 2? Second, why would it be 4? Why have you got it like you got it? There's a lot of questions until someone answers those questions. Why would I have to say 2 + 2 = 4 to understand? I got to have that to understand math. Words clears that up. Amen? Maybe you didn't know that's the reason we're so far behind. What I'm saying is God uses words. He's a communicator to you and I in this life. Simple that. This keeps our minds focused not on the situation, but on the revelation. And this is a spirit. We understand that the Spirit expresses His thoughts by communicating through our spirit by His wonderful words. And they're found in His book. So number one, we meet God face to face in the gospel of Jesus Christ at the altar of our hearts. And from there, this wonderful journey starts in the new creation. Number two, quickly, we can have certain limitations even though we're created in God's image. Now, all the unsaved are still in God's image, but they got a lot of limitations. You and I got saved. It didn't change our limitations. It did change, though, what we could do about them. I'm just as apt to be deceived and seduced by sin of this world as not, because I still have the flesh. But God's given me a power to something to do about them. And so has He you if you're born into the family of God. Simple that. The five senses limit us in the flesh while we take on the information that the mind can process. We're limited, certainly, by the things of God as we take on in the mind through the five senses, things that process to help us to learn, know, and understand. But I've got news for you, and I found this out in the Spirit. Those five senses do not limit God. He's not limited. I mean, tell you, I can let Him limit me to do something for God, and He can all of a sudden pull a string just right and jerk me in line. Because they don't limit Him. And I know this. Here our relationship is through faith, not through our senses. My relationship with Him is through faith, not my senses. There's a power beyond this. To come and say, God, I couldn't help that, save my life. He said, son, you can't help it. I am your help. I am your power. I'm your source. When you say you can't, you're saying we can't. And there's nothing God can't do. All things are possible with Him. Sometimes, though, we get on that pity wagon and we say that to God. Our relationship is through faith, not our senses. You notice how Satan attacked Eve through his senses? You notice how, first of all, Eve heard the voice of the serpent as God spoke through, or as Satan spoke through. Then you see that Eve looked at and saw the fruit. Satan spoke to her. She looked and saw the fruit. And then she touched the fruit. And then she tasted the fruit. And then suddenly she smelled as she tasted. By the way, that'll help you eat something if it smells good while you're tasting it. You don't believe that? Next time you get something started and you don't smell right, go ahead and eat it. Just go ahead and eat it. See what happens. The smell will turn off. It could be all right, but the smell is not right. I'm not going to eat it. Amen? Amen. What I'm saying, Satan used the five senses against her. But here's the thing about it is, well, preacher, how do you know that God is who He says He is? I'll admit to you, I have never touched God through my senses. I've never seen God with my physical eye. I've never tasted Him other than spiritual. I'm talking about fit through the senses now. I never heard Him speak to me to pick up with these ears. I've never smelt God. Have you? I've never touched God physically. Have you? But I know He's real. Amen. These senses may deny Him, but the eye of faith opens up a whole new world as He explains Himself in words. And I see Him. Salvation is based on faith in His Word. Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2. Look with me. Just turn about your eyes to see this, if you will. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 6 and 7, Paul said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Then notice what he says in verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Isn't that interesting? Now we know the faith leads to the Word of God. Established in the faith, he says. As ye have been taught, there it is, abounding therein with thanksgiving. It's interesting. It is through faith that we try to prove God's existence. The world sees what He's done in the external physical. They still don't believe. They've got all kinds of things about Him. But it's through faith that we prove Him. That's the only way He can be proved. In Hebrews 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is invoked as a response to the gospel of Christ. Having produced faith when the Word is heard, it unites the believer to Christ, to the Spirit, or in Christ, to the Spirit of God. Faith is the avenue by which we connect with God. In Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. I'm talking about this opposing two forces and how the one comes through procreation and birth, where we are a fallen nature, and the other comes through the new birth through the Lord Jesus Christ when He gives us His Holy Spirit. This connection helps us to depend upon God's Word, to penetrate the circumstance. I'm in something, Lord. You know where I'm at. And then I find this connection helps me depend on His Word. When the circumstances don't change, I can still depend on His Word. The connection helps me to depend upon God's Word when there's a bad situation. When failures that were in our mind in the past keeps coming up, I can depend upon God's Word. God does not lie. Not only does He not lie, the Bible says He cannot lie. Faith is the avenue which we connect with God and the order of our heart. Jesus Christ is presented as the gospel. We are no longer restricted by the carnal mind. I've got it. You've got it. But I'm not restricted by it. God has given me the ability. We're no longer under the law, but under grace. We're not debtors to the flesh that's led by the carnal mind. We're debtors to Him, and we're nothing to pay but giving thanksgiving what He's done for you and I. We're debtors to the flesh. In Christ, God has released us to His original intention for our lives. That's amazing. I won't get there until God takes me home. But He's released me from the curse came from Adam, that I can head in His original intention that He had for Adam fail. He's released me from that, that if I'll listen and grow in grace and knowledge, He will turn around this in this direction. Not only am I born into the family, but I'll begin to walk in the family and be released from the curse as I make decisions. And the Holy Spirit inside begins to help me with the force that's there to make the right decisions for His glory always. These connections are very important in our lives. To have this intimacy with Him with no restrictions of the flesh, no restrictions of the environment, the situation, the circumstances in life. Here one can do what God created us to do. Our actions become the evidence of your faith. Dear Satan, not long ago, and talking to him, said, I thank God I've been able to serve God all these years, and I'm going to serve Him until I die. And someone said, well, how in the world can you serve Him if you end up in a rest home? We got rest home ministry, and you go to rest home. He said, and this person said, I'll just pray. Praise God. That's one thing you can do when you can't do nothing else, is pray. You say, well, suppose I lose my mind. God understands that. That's about the only thing He would understand is excuse. All the others is not understandable. If you get where you can't think and know how to pray, then you're already almost home anyhow. But I'm telling you, I like that. But if I can't do anything else, I'll pray. Think about this, though, if I'm not serving Him like I should when I have good health, I probably won't be praying when I don't have good health. Not for others anyhow. Amen? God has designed us. It's interesting. In Christ has released us to that original intention. Here we can do what God has created us to do. Your action becomes the evidence of your faith. God has designed man to express Himself through speech. Matthew 12:34 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, there the mouth speaketh. God has designed us. That's how we communicate, because God uses words. Speech is generated in you as you exhale, or exhale breath that is within you. I didn't understand. I looked that up. Speech is, you try to talk inhaling. And I'm going, oh. Most time it's exhaling. Get before the mirror and try it some. Let me try. What I'm saying, it's interesting. Speech is generated as you exhale breath that is within you. God's Spirit moves in your life. You're no longer manipulated by the flesh, or you don't have to be. Amen? That's what I'm seeing in this opposing force. An expression by the mouth originates first as thoughts in the spirit. Expressing people, listen to me, expressing people in the right way are thinking people. Not just a motor mouth, but thinking people. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. This refers to what is happening inside a man in his mind. Neither character nor the thought of a person are evidence until they are given from that person. No one knows my character until you evaluate and look at me and live in. And no one knows my vocabulary until you hear me speak. You can't read my mind. Boy, I'm glad I can't read yours. Expressive people, thinking people. I'm talking about these opposing forces. God helps us release the flesh. Listen to me. So it won't kill your vision. So it'll give you understanding. The flesh is controlled by appetites and governed by human nature and human wisdom rather than by God's Spirit. The heart becomes the Bible term for the totality of man's inner nature. The heart's logic and resources may differ from man's senses. And that's the thing. When God gives you this new creation and the heart changes, so to speak, in terms, understand, then all of a sudden you realize that your logic and resources differ from the senses. Words are the voice of the heart. So we meet God face to face in the gospel of Jesus Christ on the altar of our heart. We have limitations, but our result is in life can be different because of Jesus Christ than it would have been without Him. And then the third thing quickly is simply walking without God or walking with God is not conflict free. And I have to understand this. It's not conflict free due to the constant battle for the control of the mind. I don't believe the average Christian understands why they say and do. They hear something they don't like about God. That don't have nothing to do with me. Yes, it does if God said it. It's amazing how we throw off things that 40 years ago people wouldn't even think about throwing off because they understood life different than we understand it today. Romans 12, 1-2 moves us from things that God has done for us. First 11 chapters shows what God has done for us. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 moves us from what God has done for us unto how we should respond to Him now for service. No wonder He said, I beseech you, I beg of you, based on the mercies of God you've seen already in the first 11 chapters, that you present your body. And that way, hey, you won't present your body unless you present your mind. And I won't either. Paul urges us to measure our life to our belief. Be not conformed, he said, to this world. Don't copy this world, the values and the selfishness and corruption and unethical behavior and custom. But be ye transformed. That means to create so these things do not become part of your overall life. Therefore you have peace. And of course, peace is with Christ. Peace is not mind over matter. You cannot talk your way to peace. I cannot talk my way to peace. When you take your eyes off yourself and focus upon God, you'll discover peace because peace with God depends on our faith in Him. And the peace of God, and here's the key, is a promise that God shows our relationship with Him. Peace with God comes through Jesus Christ. And the peace of God shows us at that moment of our relationship with Him. It's either in right harmony or not harmony. If it's not in harmony, we won't have peace of God. We have peace with God. That's established in Christ. But the peace of God comes from obedience and knowing what He has to say. Anything dead is completely controlled by its environment. And sin contaminates the flesh and makes it antagonistic or hostile to our relationship with God. The flesh changed because of sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, their progress of flesh being seen changed. It wanted to hide and try to clothe itself in many things. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 tells us where to set our mind. The flesh changed because of sin. So don't set your mind on the flesh. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, set your affections on things above. That has to do with Christ. He tells us where to set our minds, not our flesh. The word carnal is selfish, sinful, fleshly, worldly. The word spiritual, controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. When we're looking in outside, when we look outside, one cannot see all the tormenting thoughts that are attached to your mind. I look at you this morning and you look at me, you can't see all the things that torment each one of us. That's inside, but God can see it all. And God is the one who needs to see it, so He's the only one who can actually help us. Satan uses all these negative thoughts to control your mind so he can control your thoughts in personal crisis, because if he can control your thoughts in a personal crisis, you won't use the available power that God has to get through that. He lets you look at the circumstances and focus upon the Lord. I have no control of the circumstances, but when I focus on God, I know He has. And therefore, focus on Him. We'll set my affection on things above. We'll get my eyes off the circumstances and look for the end result, not for my selfish need, but for His glory. And that's what the opposing forces fight against when we end this life. Satan uses all these negative thoughts to control our mind. We can look very good. Hear me. We can look very good on the outside, but be completely dysfunctional on the inside. Father, we can put that coat on just as pretty as you've ever seen. Get it just right. Everything look all right. But inside be rotten as dead men bones. That's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. Satan can use past experiences to cripple our future. And so as we look at these two forces that are taking place inside of us, keep in mind, thereby chapter 8, verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Jesus looked beyond the cross and saw the joy of you and I being there one day. And I say to you that these two opposing forces in the Christian life fights each other. Your mind has to stay free in order to make judgments about who you are. So I encourage you, keep your thoughts clean so you can manage the two opposing forces in the Christian life with the power of God that's available. And if you'll do that, you're going to have some spots along the way. You're going to have some failures. But the end results are going to be what they should be because God is leading you. You're not leading yourself. And you'll learn to focus on Him rather than the circumstances. And when you do that, and just keep in mind, you manage the two opposing forces in the Christian life, and God will help you delay your response to a problem. You know, animals, they react quickly until someone gets control. God will help us delay our response to a problem while choosing a right, godly course of action. And God is honored. And we utilize the power that's available to help bring these forces in control. Should I? Shouldn't I? I should not. The Holy Spirit says, I'm there to help you. Look into my word. Find out what I say. Once you learn what I say, I'm there to help you. I'm there to help you. If you hear nothing saved this morning, God doesn't expect you to try to get to heaven by yourself. You can't. Our works are impossible. Christ's works are the result of what Christ has done for us. But I'll tell you this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God's raised from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts 5:12. That's the word of God. That brings that conflict. Well, should I, shouldn't it? Yes, you should. Well, I don't know. I don't have enough. You should. And Christ comes to the order of your heart by the gospel. And from there is where it starts. Then the conflict. The conflict that you have for to say yes to Jesus or no. Yes or no. Yes or no. That conflict carries on till God gets us home out of this body. In a body that has not the flesh. Nor the opposing force. Father in heaven, I want to thank you again for your word. Thank you for people who sat, Lord, for the last 40 minutes so attentively to hear the message. Please not let it be boring. Help us see what you're saying. Grant to us, Lord, the ability to use the power that you have available for us because of Jesus Christ. Save us all near as hell. Help us in this life to be what we need to be. Help us understand, Lord, you understand the battles going on. You know it's so easy to go with the flesh. The flesh just enjoys most anything that brings satisfaction in the senses. But there's a power beyond that. And you're here to help us. I'm glad you didn't leave us by ourselves. Lord, we're all failures enough with you in us. Think what it'd be like if you hadn't came into abode in our hearts and lives. Thank you to know we have one who cares. Thank you, Lord, when others seem made to forsake us. We have one who said he'd never leave us, forsake us. That's the word of God. Where others may say something and mean in truth to do it and then not do it. And even have to say, I'm sorry, because they didn't. God cannot lie. He never has to say, I'm sorry for something he said and not do. I thank you for that. Help us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.